I opened my eyes and lay there just listening, not moving a muscle. Pa had always taught me to make sure nothing was around before I moved after I'd been asleep, so I just lay there listening. It was just getting light, and I didn't know what had woken me up. There should have been a few birds singing, but I couldn't hear a thing. I listened, and I couldn't hear old Red or the horses munching grass either. Then I realized Jimbo wasn't lying by my side, but that wasn't unusual, as that old mangy mutt liked to go out hunting for a rabbit or squirrel this time of day for his breakfast. But not hearing Red and no birds, I knew something was around that wasn't supposed to be. I very slowly moved my hand and made sure my Hawken rifle was right handy, and then, very, very slowly, slid out from under my bedroll. Now, I had bedded down under the low branches of a big old spruce on a thick bed of pine needles that was up the hill a bit above the creek, so I could move without making hardly a sound and almost without my movement being seen. But I was being almighty careful just the same. I had picketed Red and the horses on a nice patch of grass just across the creek. Once I got my head up, I could see old Red, his ears straight ahead and his nostrils flared. He was staring out into the meadow that was just through the willows on the other side of the creek. I couldn't see the horses, as they had moved into the willows a bit. Then I heard Jimbo's low, throaty growl that told me there was trouble very close by. Making sure my knife was still in its sheath and picking up my tomahawk and rifle, I started out. Staying in the forest where I could walk without a sound, I edged up the hill and circled around upstream from where I figured Jimbo was with his low growl. I stepped through the creek and edged through the willows, being real careful not to make a sound. I brought my rifle up and looked around the brush where I could see Jimbo standing there with his hackles up. Just a few feet in front of him was an Injun lying in the grass. He was up on one elbow with a knife in one hand and an arrow in the other. His eyes were wide, staring right at Jimbo. Jimbo could be a mighty fearsome sight. He was big, well near 200 pounds. He was bigger than any wolf I'd ever seen, and I think he might be part wolf, though no one will ever know for sure. He had that wild look that had come from being in the wilderness his whole life. I waited there, just looking around that brush for a while, making real sure that he was alone. That Injun never moved, and neither did Jimbo. When I figured it was safe, I stepped out from behind that brush, and that Injun shifted his eyes to me but never moved a muscle, figuring Jimbo would attack at the slightest movement. I walked up and patted Jimbo on the back and told him to stay. I could see right off that Injun was in a bad way. His right leg was black and blue from ankle to knee and was swollen to twice the size of the other. Now I figured he couldn't understand me, but I spoke anyway. And he just stared at me with a grip on that knife so tight his knuckles were white. I figured he must be in his late teens, maybe a year or two younger than me. Now back home in Kentucky, we'd lived near a Cherokee village, and I grew up with my friends being from that village. I had learned a lot of sign language, and had picked up a lot more as me and Pa had come across the plains. So I made the sign for friend, and laid down my rifle, and told Jimbo to go lie down. And that young Injun seemed to relax, but he wasn't ready to put that knife down yet. I walked back and got my water pouch from my pack and filled it with fresh water from the creek. I went back and set the water pouch down for his easy reach, and then went out and gathered some good dry tinder and small branches for a fire. I set up that fire where he could get some warmth from it and struck a spark into the dry tinder. Within just a while, I had an almost smokeless fire started. Now he had been crawling and dragging that leg down through this meadow and, the way he looked, must have been moving like that most of the night. When he could feel the warmth from the fire, he relaxed even more, and after a little while, he dropped his hand holding the knife. I picked up the water pouch and offered it to him, and he set down the knife, took the pouch, and drank. When he had drunk his fill, he handed the pouch back to me and picked up his knife and put it in his sheath. I noticed then that the sheath was a work of art, decorated with quills and braided horsehair. He brought his quiver, with 8 or 10 arrows still in it, over his shoulder and put the arrow he had been holding in the other hand back in it, and I noticed the quiver was decorated with the same pattern as his sheath. This was a young man that took pride in his work. Jimbo was just lying there on the other side of the fire, but not letting that engine out of his sight, and I could tell that was making him plumb nervous. I told Jimbo with a hand signal to go scout the area, and he took off, silent as a ghost, and I figured he would be gone a while. Old Red had gone back to grazing, and I walked back over to my pack and brought it over by the fire and got out the makings for breakfast. I still had some flour, salt, coffee beans, and a little salt pork left, so I put some coffee beans in a tin cup and set it on the edge of the fire to roast. I filled the coffee pot with water and just set it on the coals, and in one fry pan, I started some pan biscuits. When the water was ready, I crushed the coffee beans with the back of my tomahawk and put them in the pot. This young engine was watching me like I was crazy, but he never made a sound. When the biscuits were done, I sliced some of the salt pork into the pan and fried it. I poured a cup and handed it to the engine and set 2 biscuits and a couple of slices of the pork on a tin plate and set it down right by him and then did the same for myself. He picked up the plate and sniffed the pork. I started eating, and after he watched me for a minute, he did the same. Now, I don't know just what he thought of the grub, but he ate it all, and I cleaned up and put it all back in the pack. I hoped he was starting to trust me just a little by now. Grizzly Killer, The Making of a Mountain Man. Audition read by Michael E. Smith.